The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, I don't know, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. We taught basketball the entire hour. No, I'm lying. We worked in some football talk. A lot of it, as a matter of fact. We'll do a lot more. As a matter of fact, we're going to get into who our Super Bowl picks might be. Because we have to do it.
We have to. It's a must.
It is. It's a radio imperative. It's not really fair. I don't like doing it. But sometimes in life, you have to do things in your job that you're not happy about.
Yeah.
So, we will get to that. In fact, we can get to it right now if you want.
You want to now?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it right now.
Okay.
Do we have to do division winners and everything, or can we just do our Super Bowl picks? Because however you want to do it.
We might as well go all out, Fred.
Okay, so we got to go balls to the wall here.
Balls to the wall.
So, should we start with the NFC?
Let's start with the NFC. Okay. That works for me.
All right, so NFC East to me is the biggest rat trap that there is. I finally narrowed it to Giants and Cowboys. I'm going to lean Giants just because I don't know what Dak Prescott is.
I'm going to confidently go Giants.
Okay. I do think, and if they get Romo back with a decent record, their schedule's pretty easy. I still think the Cowboys can win it. I don't know what Prescott is yet. We'll find out pretty quick because what we saw in the preseason isn't what we're going to see in the regular season. There's no question. But if he can be pretty good, there's enough talent around him. But I will take the Giants to win the NFC East.
Okay.
And so do you. But I only have one team coming out of there.
As do I.
All right. The NFC North, I wanted to pick the Vikings up until last week. I was picking the Vikings to not only win, but I was probably going to pick them to go to the Super Bowl. But now I have to kind of go default Packers. I think the Packers win the division. I think the Vikings are in the running for one of the wild cards.
I think they are, too, mostly because the second wild card is... there's no team you can pick for the second NFC wild card. You're almost everybody is going to tell you there's two teams from the NFC West going, yeah. Arizona and Seattle. That second wild card spot, I can't think of a team off my head that I'd be like, yeah, I feel good about them making the playoffs. I don't think there is. Yeah,
maybe the Falcons get it together.
Maybe.
Maybe
the Bucks take a step. Maybe the Bucks. Know. Maybe the Rams are good enough defensively.
Maybe the Bears surprise us. But to me,
it's a lot of ifs.
Yeah, there's a lot of ifs there. And so I'm going to go ahead and take the Vikings to be that if, just because I think they're good enough. And they're not going to put a lot on the quarterback, which is good, because if they do, bad things will happen. So I'll take Packers to win the division, Vikings as a second wild card. NFC South, I'll stick with the Panthers, although I think there's some regression this year. I think they're more of a 10-6. 11-5 kind of team, but I think they win the division. Really tempted to pick the Falcons to bounce back, but I just don't trust them. Really want to pick the Saints to bounce back, but I just don't think they fix their defense. So I'm going to stick with the Panthers, and I say that without being excited about it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Panthers too. I was close with you on the Falcons. I think the Falcons are going to end up being my second wild card team.
Okay. We head to the NFC West, where I am going to go a little bit different direction.
Oh, you're going to go rogue?
A little bit. Almost everybody has the Cardinals as a favorite in that division. I am going to take the Seahawks to win the division.
Okay, I am too. That's no fun.
Well, that's no fun. Jeez, yeah, I thought you were telling me how stupid I was.
No, sorry, man.
You love your...
So we have the same playoff teams except for one. You have Minnesota, I have Atlanta.
Yes, that is correct. And
we have the same division winners.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that won't be the case in the AFC.
Well, I am going to pick the AFC championship or NFC championship game to be pretty lame. I'll take Seattle and Green Bay. And I will take the Seattle Seahawks to come out of the NFC.
I'm taking Seattle to go.
No,
I'm sorry.
I thought you were going to take the damn Cardinals.
I wanted to take the Cardinals, but I like the way they've... thinking back to last season, what Carson Palmer looked like at the end of the season, I trust Russell Wilson more than Carson Palmer right now.
I do too. And I just have a feeling Carson Palmer's not lasting the year.
But give me Seattle versus Arizona in the NFC Championship game.
Okay. That's a good mix.
And if I had to, I could easily see the Giants being in the Super Bowl. They get hot at the right time.
Yeah. Well,
because that's what the Giants do.
Yeah, they make the playoffs and then
they come off a bad year. Yep. And they do everything right at the right time. They'll sneak in the playoffs at 9-7 and then they'll be world beaters.
All right. We move to the AFC. I'll make you go first with these. Let's do the AFC East.
It's the Patriots. I can't even think of anyone that's going to push them. Four games without Brady isn't going to be enough to make that gap navigable for anybody else in that team.
I agree. I'd love to pick somebody else, but I think you see some regression from the Jets this year. I don't think the Dolphins actually got better this offseason. I think they got older. And I think the Bills are going to be pretty good, but not enough to get a wild card.
I'm with you.
They're going to be like 8-8, 9-7, and be second in that division.
I'll never pick the Bills to make the playoffs because they never do. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, it is, but I think they're going to be close. They're going to be right in it till the end, and then it's going to go a different direction. We go to the South. Well, let's say the South for last.
You want to do AFC North?
Let's do the North.
The Steelers for me.
Steelers for me as well, with the Ravens second and getting a wild card.
I've got that as well.
And I know they make
Sorry, Bengals.
I know they make it every year, but I'm going to say that the Bengals do not make the playoffs this year.
Okay.
That's my bold prediction. No Bengals in the playoffs. You don't have them in the playoffs either. This is no fun.
My AFC West champion, the Raiders.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go that direction. I am going to take the Kansas City Chiefs to win the division.
All right, I've got the Chiefs in the playoffs too, though. They're my second wild card.
I'm going to have the Chiefs winning the division, and I'm going to have the Broncos sneaking in as the wild card out of there. No Raiders in the playoffs, but a good 8-8 season.
All right, and the AFC South.
Well, I know you're going to pick the Colts.
I'm picking the Colts. Yeah,
you default to the Colts. So. I am not going to pick the Colts, and you can call me a homer if you want. I think the Texans win the division again.
I won't call you a homer. I wouldn't make fun of anybody picking the Texans to win
the
division.
But I think the Colts are my other wild card.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to take the Colts as a wild card because that would be three.
You have the Ravens and Broncos.
I got the Ravens and Broncos. So, no, Colts missed the playoffs this year.
Okay.
It's going to be between the Colts and Broncos for the last playoff spot.
And who's
That's what I was going back and forth
Who's with. Your Super Bowl representative?
In the AFC Championship game, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
And I have the Pittsburgh Steelers going to the Super Bowl and winning it over Seattle.
I'll go Patriots over Chiefs.
Okay.
So that means Seattle versus New England, and I'll take
Again?
Seattle.
All right. I am taking Pittsburgh over Seattle in the Super Bowl.
Who's your let's do MVP prediction.
All right, I'm going to throw you a real wild card.
Throw me a wild card?
Ben Roethlisberger.
I don't think that's too much of a wild card. I think
kind of a wild card.
He'd probably be in the top three, four candidates.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to pick an obvious favorite.
I'll go Russ Wilson.
Okay, that's not a bad one either.
Listen, if you've listened to this show for long, I've come a long way on that guy. And I said I needed to see him develop into more of a passer. And he has. I think this is the year that he becomes an elite passer without Marshawn Lynch behind him. I think they lean on him more.
Yeah.
And
they're going to have to, and he'll still be able to run.
Yep.
He's going to put up good numbers. I could see him having the season Cam Newton did last year.
Okay.
I could see that happening. If he does, he deserves to be the MVP.
You have a, I guess you think Roethlisberger's offensive player of the year?
Yes.
I'll go Russell Wilson for that.
Okay.
Defensive player of the year?
I'm going to go a little off the charts here.
Okay.
Patrick Peterson.
I'll go Khalil Mack.
Okay.
I think he has a big year, big year. Offensive rookie of the year?
Offensive rookie of the year. Well, I think Zeke Elliott's got the best chance. I think I got to default to Zeke Elliott because I don't think Carson Wentz is going to have a good enough year, and Paxton Lynch isn't going to play soon enough for me. That would be kind of my long shot pick because he's probably not going to come in until about week four, and I think he'll play pretty well, but I'm going to go with Elliott.
I'm going to go Carson Wentz. Don't feel good about it, but a quarterback who's going to get a lot of starts, I think he'll win six, seven games.
He could do that.
That'll be enough.
All right.
Defensive player of the year.
We already did that.
Or defensive rookie of the year, I mean.
Oh, defensive rookie of the year. Well, I honestly have no clue who's going to be defensive rookie of the year. I think it's going to be somebody on a good team.
I'm going to go Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, I just don't think that team's going to be that good.
Yeah, I think he'll be a playmaker out there. I don't think the team's going to be that good either.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of who the best pass rusher in this draft
is. I think Kimdichie has a good chance of being in that conversation, too.
Well, he's going to be on a good team and play a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
didn't realize you were going to make me pick friggin' defensive rookie of the year.
How about comeback player of the year, Fred? Andrew Luck, no doubt, right?
It's got to be him, right?
I mean,
if
it's not him, then
how about this?
My prediction about who wins AFC South is wrong.
If it's not him, how about this? Even though the team's going to be bad, Bob Griffin.
I can see that.
Bob Griffin is your comeback player.
I'll also throw a dark horse Terrell Suggs vote.
It's not a bad one.
I bet Jordy Nelson's probably going to make.
Jordy Nelson
is going to do
yeah,
with that too.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to go Bill Belichick for coach of the year. Because people at the end of the year will say, they got this far without Tom Brady for four games, and I think he'll win coach of the year.
I'm going Mike Tomlin. All right. Mr. Yusey says.
There it is. We've made all our predictions. John, did you write those down in your notebook?
In my mental notebook.
Okay. So when we come back week 9 and say, where are we at? You'll have it, right?
Yeah, I'll have it.
I have it put down in my notebook.
Oh, I could count on you. I knew it.
Mr. UCS, can you do a pick 'em straight up, no extra brains to it for week 1? Tomorrow, we'll go through every game against the spread, and we also say who we think's going to win when we do that. So at the 5 o'clock hour, that's something we do every week. So tune in then. And we'll do it against the spread, but we'll also do it telling you, I think this team's going to win, but I think this team covers.
I'm already getting hate texts from my Texans fan buddies.
Hey, I have... If the Texans didn't have to play in the play the Chiefs again, I'd have had them in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah,
but it's going to come out where they're going to have to play the Chiefs again, and they can't beat the Chiefs because Andy Reid owns Bill O'Brien.
That's true.
Bill O'Brien is Ed Norton in the shower. Andy Reid is that big, tall Nazi guy.
Andy Reid is the Texas Rangers, and Bill O'Brien is the Houston Astros.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
All right, guys, football season. It's here. Tonight's the night. NFL starting up. And you're going to be sitting in some crappy recliner probably. And you're going to say, man, I wish I had a badass chair. I wish I had some awesome home theater seating. And I would tell you, well, it's not too late to get the home theater seating that you want and you need. Town & Country Leather's home theater seating sale is still going on. You can buy 3 power reclining theater seats for $29.99 and get the fourth one free. That is a savings. Let me do some math. That's a savings of $1,000, Fred. That's right. A 4-seat row in your choice of 10 colors for just $29.99. They can set it up however you want. If you want the straight line, they can set it up to fit your room is what they can do. It's just in time for football. Town & Country Leather's home theater seating sale still going on. Visit Town & Country Leather at their Post Oak at San Felipe location, or you can visit them on the interwebs at townandcountryleather.com. That's the Town & Country Leather home theater seating sale going on now. At Town & Country Leather, townandcountryleather.com.
ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Disco Biscuit says, or maybe Andy Reid is Ed Norton and Bill O'Brien is the guy he curb stomped. Yeah, they did in that playoff game, that was for sure. His face kind of exploded on the curb.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, those are chalk picks.
Well, okay. Give me. I'm going to go Titans versus Niners.
Well,
Super Bowl.
Here's the thing. You can't win no matter how you do it. If you take the favorites, then you're just picking the favorites. And a couple years ago, when I picked the Saints and they were awful, all I heard about was you're so stupid picking that team. It doesn't matter. You can't win. That's why I hate doing it. But as far as chalk goes, okay. So I have the third favorite currently in the Super Bowl odds and the fifth favorite. I don't have one or two. You have
one. Seattle's two, right?
No, Seattle's three.
Oh, okay.
You have one and three.
One and three.
Patriots are the favorite. So you're more chalky than I am.
Okay. But I don't care.
But Patriots-Packers would be the ultimate chalk pick, which you could just default to every year if you wanted to. I'm not going to do it.
No. It's much better to just make stupid, ridiculous picks than chalk picks.
How about your Texans?
I said the Raiders were going to win the division.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And you're going to say I made chalk picks?
For the record, I'd been saying it for months. I was going to pick the Vikings to go to the Super Bowl.
You were.
And then Bridgewater got hurt, and that's the end of that. And that's why we don't do these things in July. That's why we wait till now. And even then, it's stupid. But do you know who's made the biggest move?
You know what's you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. This is the least chalky move ever. I'm going to pick two AFC teams to play in the Super Bowl. I'm going Tennessee-Cleveland.
Off the board? Screw that. I'm taking Chiefs versus Colts.
Nope. Tennessee-Cleveland. That's the least chalky you can get. Two AFC teams. Two awful AFC teams. Both going to bounce back big this year.
I got a 25-1 or 20-1 in the Final Four with my Chiefs. You got them in there too.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but okay. Can't win. so I'm not even going to try to win.
Write that down in your notebook, John. Browns-Titans.
I thought Browns, you had number 5 in your power rankings.
You know who's number 2?
UT.
Longhorns.
The Longhorns should be number 2. That'll never get old to me.
No. It never will. But just in case you're curious, you know who's made the biggest odds move from opening odds?
I would guess.
From April 25th?
I would guess Minnesota's in that conversation.
No, I'm talking about biggest move up. Yes.
Man. How about the Giants?
Giants started at 40-1. They're at 18-1.
Is that the biggest?
It is not the biggest.
Damn. Oh, I don't know then.
This team also started at 41 and is now at 16.
Who's that?
Los Toros.
Oh, really?
Yes. Your Houston Texans.
16-1 is what you get on the Texans.
Yeah,
huh?
You could have got 40-1 when it opened. You could have got 40-1 as late as April 25th. But now, down to 16.
Yeah, that's not what I would call value.
No, I'll tell you where there's some value. Chiefs at 20.
I think that's value.
As much as I don't think the Broncos have a chance to repeat, 25-1 on the defending champs is value. And because every now and then they pop up and go to the Super Bowl, 30-1 on your Ravens.
Okay. I like that 30-1, actually.
I don't mind it.
Ravens show up come playoff time.
If they get in, they're always a tough out.
They're just like the Giants. Yeah. They're the AFC Giants.
Yeah, so your Raiders are only 20-1.
The Raiders!
And that's to win the Super Bowl.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah,
I think they can win that division.
I think they can. But if you're curious about that, your Cardinals are 8-1 now.
That's got to be down. Huh?
They're actually tied with the Packers and Seahawks for second.
Okay.
So, actually, technically, you have second choice.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But it's a co-second choice, so it doesn't really count.
I don't care. I don't care what anyone thinks.
Panthers at 12-1. And Bengals at 20, if you think they're... But the biggest drop down is not really what you think, because Minnesota opened at 20, got down to 16... on April 25th. Now, I think they were lower than that. They were down to 10 at one point. And now they're 25.
JT on Twitter, why y'all won't pick the Panthers? Because they have a black quarterback?
Yeah, that's it.
That's why I picked the Seahawks, because they have a super white quarterback, JT. It was a race thing. That's what it came down to for me. I said, who's got the whitest quarterback? I'll take the Seahawks. Thanks, JT. That's why us won't pick the Panthers, because they've got a black quarterback. I refuse to pick a team who's got a black quarterback to win the Super Bowl. I'll take Seattle instead. God, I hate Twitter sometimes. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, good Lord. What is life? I mean, I understand the value of social media, but there are a few things more frustrating.
No, I kind of love it. Nick asked a fair question. When would you feel more comfortable with picking Super Bowl picks? Playoffs, middle of the season? I think by week 10, I feel pretty good about who's going to get there most years.
Obviously, the later in the season you are, the better you feel.
If I could wait till the week before, that would be the best.
Yeah. I'll have 100% accuracy Pro Bowl weekend.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think really it's just like anything else, like judging what a quarterback's like. Last year, I kept thinking the Panthers were phonies. Until about week 10, and I realized, okay, this is a good football team. They've got a real shot to get there. It's about then for me, and I think it's different for a lot of people. Some people could start sorting that out a lot sooner. Some people it takes longer. But for me, it's about week 10 is when I can start saying, you know what, this team really is good enough.
So, I think that's about right.
Black Greg says Russell Wilson may be the whitest quarterback in the NFL.
You remember when somebody, wasn't it Bob Griffin who got called a cornball brother?
I think it was, yeah. Are we going to have to get into the...
That was, Rob Parker called him that.
Rob Parker, yeah. He was talking about Bobby Griffin, right?
Yes, he was.
So, according to Rob, he's the whitest black quarterback. Yeah. And there's some people who would tell you Colin Kaepernick. I don't think Russell Wilson's the whitest.
Lance says, you take chalk picks because it's white.
Oh,
Hashtag racist.
That's true.
That's probably true.
Legit point, Lance. Legit point. That's why I go with chalk.
Christopher, is it reverse racism that you dumped on Minnesota after Teddy Bridgewater got hurt?
Yeah. I give up on them. Their quarterback's not black enough anymore.
Oh.
People are the worst. The worst.
I love them.
Like, if I thought it was a joke, it'd be one thing. And now the tweet's deleted, so I know it wasn't a joke.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. I should have retweeted it when I had the chance. Shameful.
Somebody tweeted, and I've lost some of my contacts, so whoever just texted me this, is being popular on Twitter is like sitting at the cool table in the cafeteria at a mental hospital. Yeah, that makes sense. Whoever that was that texted me, that's very funny.
I don't think I'm popular on Twitter. I think people literally follow me to troll me.
Raheel, you're going to pick a Pakistani quarterback team. Who's the best Pakistani quarterback? It may be Raheel. He may be the best Pakistani quarterback out there.
No, I'm going to go no.
It's either that or the kid from the night of. It's one of those two.
No, I don't think so. Who is the most famous Pakistani now that we think about it?
It's got to be some cricket guy.
Is there a Pakistani that you would know?
Yeah. I mean, besides Raheel.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Here's a list of the 10 most popular Pakistani people.
Okay.
I want to see if any of these names jump out to you. Pakistan is the sixth most populous nation in the world. Just so you know, that's trivia. Malala Yousafzai.
Is that the...
They say she's...
That's the girl who wrote the book, right?
The most famous teenager in the world.
Yeah, she's the one that got...
But she's dead. That doesn't
no,
count.
No, she's not. No, she goes on tour.
Yeah, she wrote a book. Right.
That book is really powerful. That's...
Okay.
Yeah.
Asif Ali Zardari.
I like to call him Asif.
I like to call him President Zardari. Rima Khan, super hot.
Genghis's sister?
I don't think so. Okay. Abdul Sattar Eddy? No?
Nope.
All right. Mian Muhammad Nawaz Sharif?
No.
He's the prime minister. Since when is the prime minister more famous than the president? That's an interesting...
I don't do Pakistani politics.
I'd be jealous if I were the president and I saw this list. Wouldn't you? I mean, how's that guy more... This is a stupid game. Let's just stop playing the game.
Yeah. Is there anybody on that list you've heard of?
No.
Okay. Then...
That chick that wrote the book that got shot in the head.
That's the one. That's the one I knew.
But I didn't know she was Pakistani, to be honest.
Well. I think there's been one Pakistani to play in the NFL. His name is Gilran Hamdan. He is the first Pakistani descendant to play in the NFL. He played for the Seahawks, 49ers, Dolphins, and Bills. He was a quarterback, since retired. The last time he played was in 2010 for the Argonauts. And he's half Pakistani, half Palestinian.
Oh, I mean, you know, are we going to count that?
Of course.
Hey, you got to count that.
Pakistanis don't want to count that.
You should just claim Ryan Nassib. Just claim him. That's what my dad used to do. It's like... Hey, if he's brown, he's one of mine. That's what he would say. He didn't care.
That's pretty inclusive of him.
Yeah, well, he just was all about anybody who was Arabic, he was going to root for him. His favorite Texan was some guy, was an offensive lineman who was Lebanese. He just rooted for all of them.
Xavier Suofilo?
No, it wasn't him. Oh. This is long before his time.
Oh.
So this Hamdan guy, he for his career stats, 7 passing yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 58.3.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Sounds solid.
Hall of Fame.
That would lead the Pakistani League.
It would.
All right, guys. Going to tell you one more time about DraftKings. You've done all the legwork. You are ready. You've probably done your full season draft. If you haven't, I don't know what you're waiting for because there's games starting tonight. You're too late, really, to be honest. But it's not too late to play DraftKings. Put all your knowledge to the test. Play for your shot at the $1 million grand prize at DraftKings.com. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes they're handing out in week one alone. DraftKings.com is the ultimate destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. You play when you want with the players you want. So let's say you're going on vacation and you're going to be away from your phone. You're going to be away from your laptop. You can't set your lineup. Just don't play that week. It's pretty simple. You play when you want with who you want. You just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team. Simple. Go against friends and family in a private league or just play some random dude in an existing league from Minnesota. Take his money. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Choose your players, and you could seriously cash in week one. Use the code Houston. You'll play for free with your first deposit. That's code Houston to play for free for your share of the $5 million in total prizes in this week one contest. It's only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See the website for details. The website is DraftKings.com.
This is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And you know what that music means. Time for a little fantasy talk with our good buddy, fantasy football expert Christopher Harris. You can follow him on Twitter at Harris Football. You can check out his website at harrisfootball.com. And I post a compilation on my website today of fantasy football rankings, and I should have just stopped with yours because yours are the best. What's going on, Christopher?
Well, thank you very much. I saw that tweet. That was awfully nice of you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I was looking at yours, and then I looked at all the other guys. I'm like, why did I even bother with this? I just wanted to give people choices, but there really is only one choice. And you know, hopefully, if you're not listening to this podcast, man, there's some great stuff on there. So I'm going to ask you one about something I'm involved in first. I rarely am in 10-team leagues, but we're in a 10-team league. And, of course, everybody has a good time, a good team. How important is it week to week to stay on top of streaming and matchups when you're in a 10-team league versus a 12-team league?
Honestly, probably a little less, I would say. You know, I mean, matchups maybe more so, but streaming a little less because just you know, you have, I call that starball. you know, when you're in a 10-team league, everybody's got good players, and it becomes very difficult to know which one. You know, if you drafted well, you've got five good receivers for three spots, and it can be frustrating because, of course, the two that you don't pick wind up going bananas on your bench because they're all really good players. Streaming becomes less of an issue. You know, if only 10 quarterbacks are owned, why do I need to stream? They're all good. So I'm with you in that I generally prefer the deeper leagues, but there's a fun, you know, I don't think anybody in a 10-team league is doing it wrong. It's just sort of a different game. It's a little bit of a different challenge where now it's not so much about unearthing the next big thing. It's more about managing what you have and, you know, making the right decision from week to week.
So what about tonight's game? Who's obviously there's some question marks about quarterback at Denver, so how that affects some of the other players on offense. Who's usable tonight, and who would you shy away from if you could?
It's such a weird. I mean, I almost want to say the two defenses are really usable. You know, it should be two very good defenses, and if Carolina, on paper, this version of them has a weakness, it's the secondary. But is Trevor Siemian really going to take advantage? My tendency is to say no, but I haven't seen the kid. You know, I saw the kid play at Northwestern pretty badly, but I'm sure if you can't handle Northwestern, no, NFL's no problem, right? If you fail at Northwestern. You know, you're not going to have a choice probably but to use Cam Newton for where you drafted him. And the last time we saw him play against Denver, I believe it was something like 19 for 42. Wasn't good. And I still think, you know, you don't get clever. You just use him and hope he runs for a bunch of yards or gets a touchdown. Demaryius Thomas, I think you probably have to use. There's a school of thought that says, all right, young secondary, let's play a lot of cover three if we're Carolina and just keep it in front of us. Not play the Seattle cover three that wants to take your head off, but more the safety, the way we used to think of single safety high, you know, before Seattle just started destroying people with it, where, you know, you're going to let Demaryius Thomas catch a slant and tackle him. And that makes me think, all right, well, I could see Demaryius Thomas having a fine game in that regard, as long as Luke Kuechly doesn't take his head off. Jonathan Stewart, it's a tough matchup. I think, in the Super Bowl, it was 12 for 29, but he did get a short touchdown. You know, I don't love the matchup for him, but I'm going to tend to probably ride with him. It's like there are a lot of big names here, and yet a lot of them you just say, oh, the defenses are so good and so much is unknown that you do feel a little gun-shy.
The question I've been asked most this week as far as matchups go is it's mostly been, how do you rank the wide receivers in Arizona? And I haven't really had a good answer for anybody. And this week, I assume the Patriots, who are pretty good at taking away one side of the field, I'm assuming they'll take away Fitzgerald. But how do you rank those three guys for this week and then for the season?
You know, I guess I took the easy way out this week by saying I don't know what John Brown is with the concussions and having missed a month, and I'm willing to miss out on something with him. You know, just for the uncertainty, there's every chance that's going to look stupid. The very first play of the game could be a bomb to John Brown, and we're golden. But it's the kind of thing where I go, if I own him, I go, okay, I'm glad it happened. I hope it keeps happening all year. I'm okay with the idea that I missed it this time. I don't know if you can scheme to take away. I don't think scheming for one side of the field really takes away Larry Fitzgerald, and I really don't think the Patriots are apt to be able to take away a guy who last year ran about 60% out of the slot. You know, he's not going to be on one side. He's going to be up against, you know, kind of unproven nickel corner. Not kind of, very. Like Justin Coleman is probably the nickel corner. Who? And I think Fitzgerald's good. I rated him the highest of the three. Floyd just behind, and then Brown a little further. For the season, I've just been on the Fitz bandwagon all year. I had him, you know, certainly as the best value of the group because he was going third among them. But I actually had him rated the highest of the three. I just don't know that much changed from last year when he catches 105 balls and is, you know, the number, I think, in PPR, the number five receiver in fantasy. I don't think at age 33 he's lost anything off his fastball. That's the Packers in the playoffs. You know, Michael Floyd, all the ability in the world, but it strikes me that he's had that ability for a long time. All he does is get hurt and drop passes, and he'll be good, but I just don't think he's going to be as great as people are saying.
I noticed in your rankings that you had Russell Wilson as your top quarterback this week. Is that because you think the Miami defense is garbage, or you think that he's going to have to carry most of the offense there?
More the former than the latter. And I wouldn't even say it's the front. You know, it's the secondary. It looks like the corners. Rashad Jones is a really good safety, so I don't want to lump him in this, but the other three. not a good back end, nothing at nickel corner. I'll grant you, it's Xavien Howard is the one of the corners. He's a second-round rookie, so maybe I just don't know what he is. But Byron Maxwell is their number one corner. If anybody remembers Byron Maxwell from his season of trauma with the Eagles, you know, that I don't imagine that goes very well. And, you know, if there's a risk with Seattle, it's the offensive line. You know, they have a lot to prove. You know, this is Tom Cable's greatest challenge, maybe, the offensive line coach. But Wilson is awfully good at helping the offensive line. You know, as much read option or as much play action as they can run, where he moves just a little bit, he'll have defenses jumping out of their skin. I think you can do what you want against this Miami defense. For me, it's a big spot where, you know, it's a big number. Vegas has a double-digit number on it, and if I'm picking that game, I'm the sheep who's going to take Seattle. It's probably, that's against the rule of handicapping. I know you guys know that. You know, just take the double-digit points and take your lumps if they lose big, but I think that Miami defense on the back end is awful.
Christopher Harris, our guest, harrisfootball.com. And I wanted to ask you kind of a general question, because we talked a lot about draft strategies, and almost every draft that I was involved in or saw people do, they really did stay away from the quarterbacks. And how much of that is people like you basically telling them what the right strategy is, and how much of it is that people are getting so familiar with playing the game now that they're actually doing things the right way?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, you know, I spent 8 years at ESPN begging people to not take the quarterbacks in the first round, and I had to leave in order to be able to, but I'm with you. I noticed a difference too, that you know, your home league started to feel a little bit more like the experts leagues that I've been doing for a long time, where, you know, I did a super deep IDP experts league with CBS, with the guys from CBS. It's great. Being on my own now, I'm allowed, you know, I can, they invite me to do this draft. I'm like, awesome, let's do it. I'm in a league with Jamie Eisenberg and all those guys, Dave Richard. And, you know, I think I took Cam Newton in the sixth round. You know, at some point I was like, okay, well, I mean, yeah, zero QB, but I'll take Cam Newton. I do think that the world is catching up with the idea that, if you know, it isn't so much that we hate quarterbacks, it's that you should be drafting where there's scarcity. And in most leagues, the way they're set up, there just isn't scarcity at quarterback, at tight end, at kicker, at defense. And so we wait and we wait, and we take those scarce positions.
Christopher Harris has been our guest. Check him out at harrisfootball.com. Joins us every week. And Christopher, great stuff as always. Before I let you go, though, anybody in that Texans game that you should upgrade or downgrade just for the local game this weekend?
You know, I'm probably going to play Jeremy Langford if I own him, but I do have a sense that it could go real bad. You know, I'm not sure Buffalo is very good. I mean, Chicago is very good, and I really have a big question about that offensive line trying to hold off what I think is a pretty good defensive line. You know, they've been trying to get players opposite Watt. And, you know, let's watch Jared Crick tonight, shall we? Right? He's trying to replace Malik Jackson, a pretty darn good player in Denver. You guys had to go through a lot of years of Jared Crick. Like, dude, there's not even one guy on you. There's half a guy on you. Get to the quarterback. There's half a guy on you. And he couldn't do it. So I don't think that goes very well for the Broncos. And hopefully the Texans have, you know, figured some stuff out. Maybe Clowney can be something. I'm sure you guys would do a lot of Clowney talk in your lives. But
who?
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty bullish on the Texans in the game, and you know, you're gonna play Miller, you're gonna play Hopkins. That's no problem. I think Langford's the real question, and I think in most leagues I probably would take the chance.
You know, I'm curious when you say obviously Miller and Hopkins, who are gone by the second round in every league, who's the next Texan you would want? Is it Will Fuller, or do you like Braxton Miller, Jalen Strong? Who are you liking for the next Texan if you even take one?
So I will. Here's what I'm going to say. Like, not having gotten to see film yet, I don't really watch too much preseason because I just don't think it means anything.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to guarantee you guys have a better sense than I do. In my gut, I say Will Fuller, even though I worry he's Ted Ginn. You know, he has the one commodity you can't teach. He's got that speed. He's got tiny hands, but he's got that speed. So my sense would be Fuller. It might be Osweiler, though. You know, I think people are underestimating Osweiler just a little bit. Not that I think he's great, but I think he's not he's not trash. You know, he's an okay quarterback, and in that offense with those weapons, that could be good enough.
All right, Christopher, great stuff, my friend. We'll talk to you again next week.
That's a blast, guys. Anytime, you know it.
All right.
All right. Guess what's happening on Saturday, Fred? This is great news. The man is back. Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, is back. 35-0, 32 knockouts. I think he's the most feared fighter in boxing. He's knocked out 22 guys in a row. He is, I think, the next big star in boxing. I think he's the guy who they're passing the mantle to with the Pacquiao and Mayweather sort of fading away. It's his sport now, in my opinion. And his next challenge is Kell Brook. And this is going to be, in my opinion, a decent test for him. Kell Brook, 36-0 with 25 knockouts, so also undefeated. A lot of people think he's one of the top 10 fighters in the world. Ring Magazine has him listed as one of the top 10 fighters in the world. Nobody likes to fight Kell Brook. So he's moving up a couple weight classes to fight Triple G. I think it's a risky move, but this is a tough guy. He's going to go in there. He's going to bang. Could be bad news for him, but hell, what are we watching for to begin with? We're watching to see Triple G knock somebody out, hopefully. Golovkin versus Brook, HBO World Championship Boxing returns Saturday, September 10th. Great night of fights. First live at 5:30, middleweight champion Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, faces welterweight king Kell Brook. And then at 10, you can see, I think, the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world, Chocolatito Gonzalez, taking on super flyweight champion Carlos Quadras, plus an action-packed rematch of Kamagi versus Karras. Don't miss a moment. That's this Saturday, September 10th, and you know where you can see it, only on HBO.
ESPN 97.5.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Straight out of Compton. Cowboys Giants NFL, 3 p.m. Sunday on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products.
And we are back on the Blitz. ESPN 97.5 is live from Trailer Wheel and Frame tomorrow. Starting early with John and Raheel at 9, followed by Unfiltered and the news show with Joel, wrapping it up. Join us at 45 North just after West Canino at Trailer Wheel and Frame. Come out early and stay all day. Catch the show live. Browse over 7 acres of trailers and truck accessories. Enjoy the culinary crafts from Shipley's and Rudy's Barbecue while you grab a complimentary cold one, courtesy of St. Arnold's Brewery and ESPN 97.5. All right, I have what I think is Gym of the Year so far.
Ooh.
So here it is, your Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
We go to Duncan, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Where
That's a good start for a good story.
Yeah, it's not quite Florida, but
no, but it's close. It's like tornado Florida.
Yeah, it is. Poor Patricia Spann lost custody of her daughter, Misty Spann, and two other children when they were young. The children were raised by their grandmother, and Patricia allegedly told police she didn't have any contact with her kids until 2 years ago.
Okay.
But when they were reunited, Patricia claimed she and Misty hit it off.
Oh, no.
Now, both women are in jail on charges of incest after getting married earlier this year. So Patricia Spann marries her daughter, Misty Spann.
And she knows it's her daughter.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it gets better.
It's got it to. I mean,
in another twist, an investigation reveals Patricia Spann married her own son in 2008.
What the hell?
Court records show Patricia sought an annulment for their marriage 2 years later.
Based on the grounds that, oh, it's my son.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
They're both being held on $10,000 bond. District attorney says this is one of the most bizarre cases he's seen
in his
entire career.
How many moms do you think have had sex with multiple kids?
That's a great question.
It's a disturbing question.
Well, here's what's...
We know there's at least one.
No. Well, it's Oklahoma, so there's probably more.
So if we say over, under, one half, it's a sure over.
Yeah, I think so. I think you got to go over. What's worse is we were having fun on Twitter with this today, and somebody texted me. He's like, you do know there's a mother-daughter link on Pornhub, right?
Ugh.
And, okay, I'm a degenerate. I'll go a lot of directions. I did not go on to confirm that one.
Yeah, that's
because I did not want to see that. Because looking at the pictures of these two, that's not what I want to see in a mother-daughter.
No.
I don't want to see any of it. They look just like you would expect.
To a mom and daughter who would get married from Oklahoma?
Yes. Yeah. Especially where they're both wearing Superman shirts. It's are we ever going to be able to top that one? Because I had some really good ones today.
That's pretty strong. I'm not going to lie.
Mother marries her daughter, but had already been married to her son.
Man. That's a messed up lady for sure. Well,
and what does it say about me that I'm less disgusted about her marrying her daughter than her son?
Because no, they're equally vile.
They are, but at least she can't reproduce, right?
True.
Because that's the whole thing about incest. You don't want to be reproducing because the kid's going to come out with a Zika head.
A mongoloid baby, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that? Did you hear like a phone beeping?
That was a buzz.
Yeah, there was a buzz there. Is that yours?
No.
Wasn't mine.
It sounded like someone pushing the buttons on a touch tone phone.
Huh.
Oh, science, technology.
Yeah, these things happen. By the way, do want to let you know what's coming up at 7 o'clock tonight? HD show.
Oh, I did know that because I saw Freddie D out there prepping the show.
Freddie D and Henry are both
putting
out there.
That work.
Yeah, because I had to get in my weekly one-minute conversation with Henry about horse racing.
Oh, there you go.
So, one of the few people around that I can actually talk horse racing with.
Guys, I know sometimes men's health is an awkward conversation, and it doesn't have to be. ManCenters is making it easy. Dr. Russell Williams, who is one of the top 1% in the nation of urologists, he's the man. I actually got to sit down with this dude and talk to him about some of the main problems men are facing. And the reasons why they don't like to talk about it. And you guys are just being stubborn and dumb. If your balls hurt and you're not going to the doctor to check it out, you think it's just going to pass and go away? That's dumb. If it hurts when you pee and you're just like, I'll tough it out. Nope, that's dumb. If you don't want to have any more babies and you're using some method other than no scalpel vasectomy, that's dumb. ManCenters can help you be smarter. Just go in, get yourself checked out. Don't think that you can wait it out or just wait till it gets really bad to go. ManCenters gets to the core of the problem. It's created by men for men to cure and fix men. You don't have to be broken to come see them either. There's too many people dying young because of issues that could have been prevented when they were in their 30s or 40s. Don't just try to tough it out or suck it up. Let us help you get back on the top of your game. And not to mention, those no-scalpel vasectomies, you don't want to have kids anymore. This is like a pain-free way to do it. I say there's no pain because I did it. I found it to be maybe discomfort max. It really is easy. There's way more anxiety than actual pain. Go in and get yourself checked out, guys. Don't try to be a tough guy. It's not worth it. ManCenters, 9190 Katy Freeway. They're in Houston, or you can give them a call, 832-358-8600, or visit them online at ManCenters.com. That's ManCenters.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.